Well, good morning. And along with Charlie, I too want to welcome all of you here on this beautiful 10th day of August 2014. And if you're visiting with us, and we do have some visitors this morning, we want you to know that you are an honored guest here at Prairie Village, and please do come back each and every chance you get. Our service this morning will be just a little different in that we will be paying a tribute to our brother Don Dillon, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. But first of all, I want to talk to you and me, the ones that are here this morning. Now, I've given considerable thought to how I want to be remembered. How will you be remembered? We will be remembered in some way, that's for sure. Our choices today are making the difference. Our choices will decide what influence we can be on others. What words are used when describing you? Friendly or moody? Positive or negative? Critical or helpful? Cheerful or sarcastic? Do any of these apply to you? What is your immediate descriptive response when you hear the following names? Abraham and Lot? Job and Job's friends? Esther and Haman? John and Judas? As you see, a person's character leads to their description. If you want to be remembered in a praiseworthy way, we'll start today. As servants of the Lord, I feel that we each would want to be remembered as Christians who consistently put the Lord first in our lives. Our families would see us as focused and prayerful and godly men and women, content with our roles as God's servants. Dorcas in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6 was remembered as full of good works. What about your good works? The scriptures tell us that we're created for good works. And you will turn your Bibles and let's read together what Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. As I said, the scriptures tells us that we are created for good works. Paul said in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do your good works center around yourself? Or are you daily looking for good works to perform for others? There will always be the lost to teach, the sick to administer to, the poor to help, the lonely to encourage. Keep a list of your daily activities and do good works that appear every day on your list. In Mark the 14th chapter, Jesus described a good work done by the woman who anointed his head with oil. Now it was a small deed, and some criticized her, but the Lord said she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. What an excellent way to be remembered. You know, the Lord only wants us to do what we can. He doesn't want us to change the whole world, but to do what we can with our families and in our neighborhoods and with those with whom we worship. Our works need not to be spectacular, but our love should be. We must keep in mind the purpose of our good works is to glorify God. Our attitude will determine our actions, and our attitude towards God is most important. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 37, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Effort and training is essential to fulfill that command. We must take time for Bible study and prayer. The best way to change attitude is to sincerely study God's Word. And if we tend our minds and keep them pure, similar actions will follow. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 tells us, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." You remember Queen Esther? Queen Esther is remembered for being courageous. In Isaiah 41 verse 6 says, "Be of good courage." Studying Bible characters who displayed strong convictions can help us to increase our ability to stand strong for the Lord. Esther knew the law, and she knew she was taking a great risk to go before the king without being called. Yet her love and concern for her people convinced her to take that risk. And Mordecai also encouraged Esther when he asked in Esther 4 and verse 14, "And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther had a purpose, and she courageously met her challenge even in the face of danger. Could you have done what Esther did? Or would you have done what Esther did? Today we find ourselves backing away from even asking our friends and acquaintances if they are interested in a Bible study. Why do we not feel the same urgency that made Esther act to save her people? Our unbelieving friends are in more danger because their souls are at stake. Esther could have been put to death for her action. So what is the worst that can happen to you and me? Well, here in America, our lives are not in danger. I suppose a friend could get angry, but I don't think that happens too much anymore. Normally, a response of, "No, I'm not interested," is the worst we have to encounter. Yet there are at least 1,000 excuses we invent for not talking about God. Whether friend or stranger, we can cover an array of topics for long periods of time and never, ever get around to spiritual matters. We talk weather, we talk sports, we talk politics, we talk educational issues, community problems in detail without ever mentioning or inquiring of their interest in God. So let's be like Esther and do what is right and what we can do. You're writing your script for the day of judgment right now. Turn to Acts the 17th chapter with me, please. In Acts the 17th chapter, we're told God has appointed a day to judge the world. Verse 31. "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." We can be certain of that fact. We can be certain of that fact. What is uncertain is the length of our lives. Death should not catch us unprepared. How we are remembered will depend on how we've lived. Our challenge is to make each day count. We will reap what we have sown. So let us imitate the Lord and be about the Father's business, as Jesus said in Luke 2 and verse 49 when he says, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I am about my Father's business?" Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I have said all this for our benefit, for those that are here this morning. Now let's take a look at how Brother Don Dillon will be remembered. I believe my wife Jane said it best when she said of Don. She said, "The first time you meet Don, you like him and you have a friend for life." I believe that about sums it up. On November the 18th, 1946, Brother Dillon's birthday, a commemoration of the day that he entered into this life. On Wednesday, July the 23rd, 2014, Don entered into a better life, and I cannot but help to think of the words of the Apostle Paul from Philippians 1, verses 22 and 23. Let's read that together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So I'd like to make our service this morning a service of celebration. Not a celebration of the fact that Don is no longer with us physically, but a celebration of the race that was well run, of a fight that was well fought, and of a course pursued to the end, and a celebration of hope. Look at Matthew, the 25th chapter now. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a passage that tells the story of Brother Dillon in the years that I have known him. And beginning with verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Now Don was genuinely interested in people and was constantly talking about different things that we could do to expand the borders of the Lord's kingdom. And oh, how Don loved Prairie Village Church of Christ and all the saints who make it up. I seriously doubt that any of us were ever very far from his thoughts. Don would make sure that we would have a gospel meeting twice a year, and that we would have a gospel singing at least once a year, which he dearly loved. He looked forward to that so much. And Don would tell me, he said, if you have a men's meeting, Jerry, and these events have come up and you talk about them, if I'm too sick to be there, I want you to know that you have my okay on anything that you see fit to do. Sometimes later in his illness, Sharon would go to the shopping center and Don would call me. And we'd talk for hours how we could make Prairie Village Church of Christ a better and more pleasing to the Lord. Don was so concerned about our congregation, he wanted to know the answer to every question concerning his soul or the souls of others at our congregation. I have fond memories of the times Don would call me to come over to his house and just talk church, he'd say, when he felt so bad he could hardly sit up. There were many times when Brother Dillon came to services and was so in so much pain, but he was here. Many of the times I'd call Don and I'd say, Don, how do you feel? And you know the first thing he'd say to me? I feel okay, but how's Jane doing? He'd say, tell Jane she's in my prayers and that her knees will eventually quit hurting and she'll get better. You see, he always thought of the other person first. What a Christian my friend Don was. And Don loved those Irish songs. He loved those Irish songs. We all know that. I know all of us can probably think of times when we'd come into the church building on a Sunday morning before services and maybe be a cold or a cloudy day and everybody maybe be a little bit down. And Don would come in and he'd sing one of them Irish lullabies. That's all it would take to make everybody smile and ready to serve our Lord. Sharon told me Don used to call his mother and he'd say, top of the morning, Annabelle, darling, in his Irish brogue that he could do so well. And Sharon said she loved it. And she'd say, good morning, Don. The last time Don was at church was July the 11th of this year when we had our annual singing. He was so sick. He was so sick, but he loved every moment of it. Don loved his family and he took such pride in his grandchildren. He loved them all and he spoke so often of them and their achievements. Don told me he was so proud of his two daughters, Vanessa and Teresa. He told me how many times and how proud and how fortunate he was that his daughters married Christian men and how he loved his son-in-laws, Randy and Louie. You didn't want to get him started talking about his grandchildren either, Jessica, Alyssa, and Jillia, unless you had a lot of time to listen. and he loved to be called Pop-Pop. Don deeply loved his brother-in-law, Charlie Rainwater. He loved Charlie like a brother, and he respected him so much, and he depended on Charlie to help guide the Prairie Village Church spiritually. I heard Charlie the other day call Don his best friend. And oh, how Don loved Sharon. He loved her so very much. More than life itself, he said. And he said, I'd hate to live without her. However, God was always first in his life. And so we gather this morning to pay Don tribute and to say goodbye to his earthly body. Death is a fact that cannot be denied and is its event that cannot be avoided. The Hebrew writer told us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. We do not determine when we shall go, but we certainly can determine where we will go, and Don did just that. He lived a good life. Don knew and demonstrated that what our life is about is a whole lot more important than how long it lasts. So many people gathered that Friday night to view the body, probably more than 500, maybe 500, I know more than 400. And then again, the day of the funeral, at least 200 or more came to pay respect to this gentle Christian man. There have been many tears shed over his passing, there'll be more. But after time, when the tears are dried, there will be precious memories and an eager anticipation to see him again in heaven. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through 4 together. Solomon wrote, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. This is just one of those times, brethren. This is one of those times. During his lifetime, how many lives did Don touch and how many relationships did he sustain? Well, he was a son, he was a brother, he was a brother-in-law, he was a husband, he was a father, and he was a grandfather. He was a faithful Christian and a brother in Christ, and he was one of the best friends that I have ever had. Job chapter 14 and verse 14, we find this question. If a man dies, shall he live again? Well, we know the answer to that question. Job put it this way in Job 19 verse 25 and 26 when he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see my God. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now Paul's answer to that question, if a man dies, shall he live again? His answer is found in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. He wrote, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now if you would, turn your Bibles to John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. Again we ask, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, what's the Lord's answer to that question? In John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the answer to the question is yes, a resounding yes, and that makes this occasion of celebration. This is what life of a faithful Christian is all about. Hope. Hope. The very anchor of your soul, the comfort of those left behind. Come to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. First Peter chapter 1. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The earthly portion of Don's journey is now over, but he goes on. He has just stepped through another doorway, and he's awaiting judgment in a place of comfort and peace. We are told, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now Don will be tremendously missed. He won't be across from me at the church anymore physically, but he'll be there. He won't be at his normal seat in services anymore. He has a better seat now. We know that Don lives on and he awaits us now. Luke tells us in Luke 16 and verse 22, "Now it came about that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried." When we die, our spirit departs from our body, and it departs from this life. Death is a departure on a trip from one life to the next. Just as you would prepare to depart on a trip to a beautiful vacation spot or visit family and friends, so you can face death as preparing to depart to a beautiful place called heaven. Brother Don Dillon prepared for this departure since the first day he arose from that watery grave of baptism. Genesis 25 and verse 8 tells us, "And Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people." Did you notice here, he was gathered to his people? The righteous will be reunited with all the saints of who have gone on before them. Brother Don Dillon is now with fellow Christians. He's with his fellow Christians. Don is a faithful child of God, and he has now gone on to where faith becomes sight. And that brings us to a vitally important point that Don would never forgive me if I didn't talk about. What about us? What about you? What about me? What about those of us who are still here in this veil of tears? We know how Brother Don is remembered, but what about us? So again, I ask you, how will you be remembered? One thing that death does is to cause the living to think about their lives and the destiny that awaits them. We're all going to come to that time. Will it be a time of joy and hope, a time of celebration? Or will it be a time of inconsolable sorrow for those that you leave behind? I'd like to read this poem to you. It's called "The Final Home." How great and glorious it will be to cross that river dark and deep, to land upon the gilded shore and dwell with God forevermore, to walk on streets all paved with gold and live with saints with days of old, to talk with Peter, Paul, and John while ages roll forever on, to sit beside that river there and never know another care, to see the tree of life in bloom and dwell in mansions safe from doom, to sing in rapture with the throng and praise the Lord in word and song, to walk with Him who died for me and live with God eternally. How many blessings are in store for those who open that narrow door and walk along that path so straight until they enter heaven's gate? A place, a land forever fair, how sweet 'twill be to worship there. How bright a hope that Christian owns to call God's land his final home. Are you a Christian? If not, believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as Lord and be buried with Jesus in baptism for the remission of your sins. As Peter said in Acts 2:30, when the multitude asked Him, "Friends, brother, what shall we do to be saved?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Then, after you do that, you must live faithfully from that point onward. Do not be swayed or do not stray, and let your life be your own eulogy, a walk with the Lord in hope. And you know what? Don knew. And this is what he did. Don knew this, and this is what he did. My dear friends, Don loved us all so very, very much. And he's telling us now to come to be with Him. If you're not a Christian, take advantage of this day right now. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because He is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if you've left the Lord, if you haven't been coming to church as you should, don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. Take care of it this very morning. You do that by coming forward after you pray to God for repentance, and then let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a faithful child of God once more. If we can help anybody in any way make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing.